We have three verses of scripture now to look at from Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. Galatians chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. And we will read God's word together. Let's begin. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will reap of the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. That is the word of God. Bear your brother's burden by helping the Lord. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, Christians were freed from the keeping of the Jewish ceremonial laws. But they were not freed from keeping the moral laws, the Ten Commandments. Now, in keeping that moral law, you have heard already that the Apostle Paul was reminding the Galatians that they had to be grounded in love, because love is expressed in keeping the law. Love is the foundation. So it was not merely talking about loving, it was indeed acting on love. Love was action. Now, part of that action of love was his call for brothers, mature brothers, to help weaker brothers who are struggling. That became very clear to us. They have to care for them, for the weaker brothers, in their mental struggles, in their physical struggles, and in their spiritual struggles. But it didn't end there. The Apostle Paul wanted them to hear about one more thing. They had to work with their elders to help to care for the weak. And that's where our focus will be on today. Helping the weaker brothers by helping the elders. And our headings are two. First of all, help elders, why and how. And then second, help elders, the warnings and the encouragements. First, help elders, why and how. Verse 6 says, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. And remember, you have to keep the context of this passage in focus. So the Apostle Paul wanted Galatian Christians to help the elders so they could help their weaker brothers. And one way to do this was to show liberality and beneficence to the elders. You see the contrast. The Judaizers, these false teachers, were putting weight on the backs of the Christians, so they were being crushed. The Apostle Paul said, on the other hand, you who are strong, work with your elders to help carry the burdens of those who are struggling. Now, this command to help elders who helped the congregations was a common command in Scripture. It didn't appear out of the blue. Working together with the leaders was essential for the success of the Church of Jesus Christ. God wanted to draw this seriously to the attention of the congregation, that they had to support their elders. Look at another passage that says essentially the same thing. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 11 together. If we have sown spiritual things for you, is it a great thing if we reap your material things? We've invested in you. You help us so we can help you. Now, I'm sure this was not a comfortable thing for the Apostle Paul to be speaking about things that might seem self-serving. But it was God's command, and he had no choice about it. Look also in Romans chapter 15, verse 27, together. It pleased them indeed that they are their debtors. For if the Gentiles have been partakers of their spiritual things, their duty is also to minister to them in material things. That's part of those two things are tied together. There wasn't a miraculous teaching of others Where will they find the support to do so? Look again, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 14. Together, even so the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And it would have been a shame, wouldn't it, if those who were called to serve in the church was forced to go into secular work. It was shameful many times in history. And the Lord was very strong in his condemnation of people who became too busy storing up their personal treasures and ignoring the kingdom work. You saw this during the time of Amos and Joel and Haggai and Zechariah. These brought curses upon the people because they did not help the elders to help the congregation, which is the command that God has given to us. Now, why was it important for the Galatians to be liberal and giving? Well, consider the fact that the elders taught them. That took a lot of work. It was not easy to get the right meaning of a text. It was not easy to get the proper application of a text. It is not easy to put things in a way that is understandable and easy to remember. That takes work. That takes skill. That takes training. You can ask Elder Leo how much fun it is to be in seminary and having to do all that work. It takes work. It takes training. Elders have to make many sacrifices too. They have to make sacrifices of body, mind, and soul. Let me ask you this. How many jobs require that your souls are prepared before you go to work? Not many. That's why the Apostle Paul was saying, hey, support your elders, take care of them. Elders have to learn to rule their households well before they're qualified to rule in the Church of Jesus Christ. You know how hard that is? When we think of the sin of ourselves and our wives and our children and our neighbors, all the people around us, we struggle. It's a hard task. Should not defraud those who require temporal support when they're feeding the flock of God. You have to value the feeding of the flock of God's flock. Also, helping their elders was good for mature Christians and the basis of their heavenly and even earthly rewards. So it's not just elders teach and make all these sacrifices, but there's a reward for doing so. When you help your elders, you're investing in God's kingdom. The Bible says what? In the keeping of God's law, there is minor reward? No. There's great reward for keeping God's law. And then third, the price they would pay would be too high if they didn't support their elders. On one hand, you're rewarded if you do. On the other hand, the Lord speaks very strongly against those who don't support their elders. Martin Luther said one, he had a way of coining phrases that would often make it memorable. He said this, "Whoever will not give the Lord a penny gets his due when he's forced to give the devil a dollar." That's the kind of expressions he would say, and it's a true thing. The price you pay would be much greater. What can we learn then from this? First of all, don't withhold what God intends for his kingdom service, because God will hold you responsible if you do. You see, everything you have belongs to the Lord. When you get a paycheck, it's God's money. Why? Because you belong to him. He saved you. He's taking care of your future. Remember to use everything you have in a way that's consistent with him. And I'm not talking simply about tithing. It's how you invest your money, what kind of food you buy, how you spend your money for entertainment. All of those things must be regulated by God. Second, share with your elders in all good things. The word share there is quite a unique word. He ties it particularly to financial support, but it was not just that. It's a broad word, and it is used to emphasize the need not just to help in financial ways, but to give encouragement to your elders. You know, elders need that too. It's usually normal when you call the pastor or your elders, you're thinking, okay, I need help, I've got a problem, and the elders have to help. We know we get sick too, we get discouraged too, we have sins too, we struggle with those things. And that's part of your job. As we help others, you help us. It's a mutual benefit. And that's what makes us stronger. Sometimes it may be physical labor. That's the way it used to go in the old days. The pastor needed something. The elders need something. Others will help them in the physical labor, knowing that they're receiving a spiritual benefit. Offer prayers on their behalf. We need you to pray for us. Yes, it's okay. We pray for you. We do that regularly. But you pray for us. You give us your attention when we're teaching. That's one way in which you help. If you listen carefully and we don't have to say something 102 times, that helps us. Then we can use that energy to help others. Grow in grace as they toil with you. The more you allow God's word to sink into you and His Spirit, you submit to His Spirit, the stronger you grow and the easier it is for us. We can multiply our efforts many times over. I like the days when you watch the movies and the people show up at the pastor's house and they brought their big bags of zucchini and other things. It does show something of the support and care for the pastor. I know where we lived before, we had a basement done. But one of them was now our elder kid and his brother. And that saved us immensely in what we were able to do. In fact, it would have been very difficult to continue if we weren't able to rent our basement then. That's a practical way in which we were helped. And that's different, those practical ways in which you can help others. Third, do not unduly attack your elders. Consider how the Judaizers had attacked Apostle Paul. What did they say to him? They said, oh, you're not an apostle. Don't listen to him. He's not an apostle. He's just a disciple of the apostles. He didn't have knowledge about Christ. He was speaking without authority. He was teaching and promoting moral looseness. Ah, he was a man pleaser. All of these things they said of the man of God. Instead of helping him to help the congregation, they attacked him. Can you imagine how much this type of thing could affect an elder or a pastor's ministry in the church? Can you imagine how many pastors have left congregations or the ministry altogether because of personal attacks? Remember, these men are called by God, and it's your duty to care for, to support, to stand behind them, to encourage, to pray for them. That's something, how the Apostle Paul really got personal here. But he didn't just say you should do this and why you should do this. He gives some warnings. If you don't do this, this is what happens. And he gives some encouragements. If you do this, this is what will happen. So let's look at that in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. The Apostle Paul asserted here, God is not mocked by you. This is very uncommon language. It is a strange tense. It's called a gnomic tense, which is neutral, generic, or universal tense. And this means a statement is always true. So you can translate this phrase this way. God is never, never mocked. God did not put up with mocking. And you notice how this is in the context of you helping your elders financially, by verbally, encouragement, prayer, and all of that. That's when he says, remember what I just said? God is not mocked. So the one who did not help carry the burden of the elders, who was carrying the burdens of the weak, was attempting to mock God. He was viewing the order that God put in place with contempt. And it's as if he were spitting at what God says. That's how you mock something, right? You look and say, ugh, look at that, look at that. That's not good. And the Apostle Paul says, God is not mocked. So what does it mean specifically to mock God in this context? It literally means to have a nose turned up against God, to make God look ridiculous, or try to outsmart God and say, you don't know what you're talking about. What are you talking about helping my elders? It seems some only pretended to help the elders or made excuses against helping the elders. So the meaning is this: stop being led astray. God wouldn't look at you kindly if you try to mock him, if you try to mock him by ignoring the command to help carry the burdens of the elders who were carrying the burdens of the congregation. God loves his church too much to put up with mocking. That's the warning. And in fact, he says it even stronger. He says, when a man sows bad things, he will reap bad things. And this is the context. No, we can use this phrase generically. When you do good things, then you might have some good things come to you. But this is used in the context of helping the elders in the church do their job. You include deacons as well. Look at Job chapter 4, verse 8. Together, even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same. Isn't that something? That's what you sow, that's what you're going to reap. The drunkard who sows will reap diseases, liver problems, will destroy his family, will injure others, or even cause their death. The Bible says, if you sow to the wind, you will reap the whirlwind. It's the same idea. You mess with trouble, you end up in trouble. You play with drugs, you're going to get hurt. You're careless on the road, you're going to have an accident. You don't take care of your health, you're going to get sick. That's the way it works. If you don't help your elders, the church is going to struggle. Proverbs 22, verse 8, together. He who sows iniquity will reap sorrow, and the rod of his anger will fail. Whatever evil man does in his flesh will be revived and judged by God. That's what he will reap. And in hell there's unending fire and worms, worms of the conscience, away from the presence of Christ, away from the tree of life. The rewards will be gone. And you'll only reap eternal judgment. That's the language of the scriptures. So this is a warning. If you don't help your elders, and that is really an encouragement to help them, you will reap what you sow. As the Guyanese would say, and I'm sure Savarna would agree, if you can't hear, you're going to feel. That's what the parents would tell us before they leave left an impression on us. Or more than one. You can't hear, you're going to feel. That's just the reality. And that's in the context of helping your elders. That's not just being bad. It's not about committing adultery. You commit adultery, you probably get sick. You probably lose your marriage. This is about helping in the church. So if you mock God by not helping your elders, what you sow, you'll be judged. That's what you will reap. On the contrary, we have the warnings, but we also have the encouragements now. The Apostle Paul pointed out that when a man sows good things, he will reap good things. Look at the description of the blessing that come on those who sow good things and bear good fruits. Look at the scriptures, Psalm 126, verse 6, together. But he who continually goes forth weeping, bearing seed for sowing, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Yeah, you have to, when you sing, you know, the old song, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves. You got to plant the seed first. You got to water it. You have to tend to it, and then the sheaves will come. Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, together. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. Sow yourselves righteousness. You will receive mercy and blessing from God. This is getting the due payment that you are promised by God for your work. Romans chapter 8, verse 11, together. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. The one who cares nothing for the kingdom will spend eternity in hell. But the one who loves the kingdom and invests time in it will be raised to eternal life and be given an immortal body by the Spirit of God. So you consider giving as an investment in love. Love for God and love for your elders, who in turn is loving the church of Jesus Christ. One more, Proverbs 11 verse 18 together. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. And you notice the word that he uses in verse 7. The Apostle Paul used that at the end of the sentence emphatically, meaning that and nothing else will the one who sowed it receive. It means absolutely, if you sow wickedness, you show irresponsible and lack of support, that's what you will reap, for sure. And if you invest in the work of the kingdom of Jesus Christ, that you will receive absolutely. And there's an interesting verse 8. This is sort of an interesting expansion of what he's saying. The Apostle Paul illustrated his statement and said, don't sow to the flesh, but to the Spirit. Some of the things in which the Galatians might have invested their time in were things that perished, transitory things, things that gratify the flesh, that gratify the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, living for the world. I hope the Ziegler girls remember that from last week. And Esau was a good example of that. A good example of living for the world, that worldliness, where he sold his birthright for a pot of stew. And then he showed his contempt of God. Instead of helping in the kingdom, he went and married two women from Canaan, showing his wickedness. He was sowing to the flesh instead of that investment in the kingdom of God, living and helping the weak in the church. Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 through 21 say, together, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. If you invest your time in these things, if you sow towards these things, you'll not have eternal life. One of the old sayings, quite corny, but it's very true. It says, it's not what you know, but what you sow, what you invest your time in. We like to think that way. It's who you know that makes the difference in society. You have all the right connections. No. It's what you invest your time, your talents, your abilities in that make the difference. Now, what are the things of the Spirit to which the Galatians had to invest their time and energy? You know what follows Galatians chapter 5. It was that allowing the Spirit of God to work in you, work that obedience so you will grow and bear fruits of the Spirit. You listen to when he moves you, motivates you. That's Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. Let's read those together. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such, there is no law. So you invest your time in producing these fruits rather than those other things that will only leave you in debt. And the rewards are no good. Let me give you five lessons here. First of all, it is cheating God and it's ignoring his elders if you refuse to tithe. Second, and considering the context, if you don't financially support the work of God, you're also cheating your brother of the help that he needs. Help that comes through your elders. Now, you always have to preface this because you see, I saw a reporter confronting Kenneth Copeland about his new airplanes and his five of them that he has and why he needs all of that money. And he talked about, that makes me work. And I thought, well, five airplanes don't make you work. They make you travel and do a lot of other things. Why do you need five airplanes? There are people who are wicked. They abuse the congregation. They manipulate them, guilt manipulate them into making them rich. That's not what we're talking about here. This, we're talking about investing in the kingdom of Jesus Christ so the people who need attention will be able to do so, so that there can be Bibles to give to people who need Bibles, so ministers are able to work, that we have the technology we need to stream the services, to pay the rent, to do the things that are required in order to care for the needs of the people. And sometimes you see the mileage bill from traveling from one place to the other. Oh, it costs. But it's to do the work of the Lord, not to make the fat cats rich. And that, of course, is not what this is about. Third, you may think others will not know if you don't help the elders because they didn't get to see you. And that may be true for now, but the Bible says God will know and he will definitely reward you accordingly. Four, there are some who think that what goes into another man's hand is lost, like when a minister is paid. But God says no. If you think this way, you are a robber. You're a robber of yourself, and you're a robber of your brother who needs help. And fifth, the personal question then comes, how much do you love the kingdom of the Lord? Now, there are different ways. And we're not talking about all the different ways, right? This is just one way in which he points out today. One way in which you show it is in how well you give to the work of the kingdom. And they're good things. I'm explaining what the scripture says. I'm going to thank God that your willingness to support the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I know when I ask for help for some cause overseas, some pastors, you've been very willing to help. And God will bless you for that. But you always have to review, as you heard last week, reflect on yourself. What am I, am I missing something? Search over my life and see if I become selfish. From time to time, we can get that way. We can lose focus because other things take over. But the Lord has promised his reward. Let's conclude. Jesus denied himself the conveniences of heaven and came into the sin-cursed world to die for your sins. The Father blessed him for his work. And you bless him. You bless him in your service. And this is the basis on which you are called to deny yourself to help others, particularly those who labor in the work. Now, you have to help the one who doesn't have food to eat and clothes to wear. You help the ones who can't go to school. All of those are rich ways in which you help. And God will bless that. But the focus here in our passage is saying, look, the church will become weak unless you support the elders who are supporting the weak in the church to help him bear his load. So, the brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, bless elders who sacrifice, who work hard for the kingdom. who struggle in their personal lives, yet find time to study, to teach you the Word of God in a clear and applicable way. Support them financially. Help bear the burden of your elders and pastors in other ways as well. And let's expand on them. Physically, you may need to help them. Pray for them. Give them your attention when you are in church on Sunday. Remember, when you are strong, he can focus on others who are weak. And then you can help others as well as you grow and mature in the faith. Remember, grace never ends with you. You are just a medium for spreading God's grace to others. Look forward for when the elders visit you to see what's going on in your life and offer some help if necessary. Make their life easy so they can focus on outreach, discipline cases, things that are necessary. And do what they say. They're called God's ministers. You listen to them. If you pursue your personal pleasure and profit and ignore helping your elders who are helping the weak, then you will be repaid accordingly. But if you pursue, and furthermore, if you pursue your own pleasure and profit, your brother remains weak. And more than that, those who have not heard the gospel will not be able to hear the gospel because they'll have no one to teach them. You see how much, what an integral part you play in the life of the church? It's not just showing up on Sunday. It's being directly involved in the lives of each other. You heard that a couple of weeks ago. But also to be directly involved in the lives of your elders, your pastor, so you can work together to make the church strong, supporting the weak. And if you're not a Christian, you are in a dangerous place, and you're going to hell. That's what you will reap. But you can change that today if you cry out to God to make you his child. And he will do it free because Jesus paid the price of your freedom. May you do so today. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for calling us from darkness to light. Thank you for giving us an opportunity of being involved in the life of the Church of Jesus Christ, that we will care for each other, and that we will also work alongside our elders to care for those who are needy. Maybe they have physical problem, a spiritual problem, a mental problem. They need help. We pray that we will work together, and when we leave this world, that you will be able to look upon the members of this congregation and say clearly, well done, good and faithful servant. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.